This episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast is sponsored by Berkey Water Filters. We have had our Berkey Water Filter sitting on our counter for about 10 years now. When we were on city water back in our last house, it gave me such peace of mind to know that the Berkey was filtering out all of the viruses and bacteria, the chlorine. The taste is just amazing. Even here in our new farmhouse, we are on well water. We still use the Berkey. We've gotten used to the pure taste of water that you get from a Berkey water filter that is nothing like any of the other filters I've tried. I chose the Berkey water filter because of how many things and toxins that it filters out, but also the filter cost. It was the most economical system per gallon that I could find on the market, and I've been a happy customer ever since. Berkey has partnered with me and given me a special discount just for Simple Farmhouse Life podcast listeners. You can find the bundle deals that they have put together just for you over at bit.ly/farmhouseberkey. That's bit.ly/farmhouseberkey, B-E-R-K-E-Y, all one word. So get in on the bundle deal while they're still in stock. Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about living the farmhouse lifestyle in town. This is for all of you who want to embrace the farm or farmhouse lifestyle, which to me is defined by learning how to make things with your own two hands, learning the most basic how-to life essential type skills, but maybe you live in town and feel like that life isn't for you. Whenever you see bloggers who have acreage and barns and silos and goats and all of these things, you might think, well, I live in town, so I really love that. It appeals to me, but I don't feel like I can have a lifestyle like that. This episode is for you. My name is Lisa, mom of six and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. All right, so I compiled a little list of 10 things that you can do to live that farmhouse lifestyle in town. But first, I want to share with you a little story. So Luke and I lived in a 1920s craftsman bungalow for 10 years before we moved to this new property. I knew that I was really interested in making things and sewing and making my own bread and handmade and anything that I could do with my own two hands. I wanted to learn, explore. I was really excited and motivated by that. And around, I would say, the 8-year mark, I really was longing for the country lifestyle. I grew up on a farm. We had elk, cattle, cats, dogs, the whole thing, like 400 acres where I could run and explore. We even had a spring and a creek. There were hay bales lined up that we can jump from. And I grew up in a 100-year-old farmhouse on all of this acreage with animals. I could saddle up my horse and ride all over the property. The full lifestyle of living in the country. When we were kids, we had hay fields that we would go through and make little forts in because the grasses were taller than us at the time. We were little. We had a tire swing. We would go down to the spring and pretend that we were living in the olden days and had to go and gather buckets of water. So this was my upbringing, and I really longed for it. I remember this random time whenever I was probably like 25, and I was talking to my grandpa, who was born in 1919. My grandparents were passed away now, but they were really old because my dad was the 10th child. And he was like, oh, so you're a town girl. And I was like, well, I guess, but I really wish to be a country girl, whenever I told him where I was living at the time. Anyways, that was all on Boone Street. And though I was a town girl, technically, because that is where I lived, I wanted so bad to embrace that lifestyle that I grew up in. And although the house that we started in was not a farmhouse and it wasn't in the country, I still wanted a grasp on that lifestyle. And at the time, we didn't have the money. The life circumstances weren't lined up so that we could actually move to the country, because Luke still worked in town and we wanted to be close because he would come home at lunchtime. It was just really convenient, and for us it made the most sense to stay there. So the life circumstances weren't going to line up for us to get a place in the country. And we looked, we'd hoped, like, maybe we'll find 5 acres really close to town. It was always either out of our price range or we didn't like the house. There was always something about it that didn't work out in that time. And so we lived 10 years in a home that was not in the country, but the lifestyle of making things with my hands and growing my own food all beckoned. And so I had to figure out how I could live this farmhouse lifestyle yet in town on a quarter acre. So let me first tell you a little bit about our first house on Boone Street. The blog Farmhouse on Boone is named after our home on Boone Street. That's why I called it that. Obviously not a very creative name. It was very close to Boone Street, and Boone sounds like a cozy, quiet little street. I know in some towns, actually in the town that I'm near now, their Boone Street is just that. It's a quiet little dead-end street, but where we lived, it actually was a state highway, and so it was a busy thoroughfare. I tried to make videos out on my front porch, and I would have to stop every 5 seconds, look up in the air, kind of roll my eyes, because it would be so loud with a car coming by that I had to stop and wait. Now, I edited all that out, so you never saw that, but that is how busy the home that I lived on Boone Street was. It was a cute little craftsman bungalow. I knew that it probably was some kind of farmhouse because it was before all of the subdivisions were there. It was a 100-year-old home, and it was likely someone's farmstead. But it actually, when we bought it in 2008, it was situated next to a public park, and it still is a public park. So whenever you'd go out in your backyard, there might be a party at the pavilion with 50 people right there in your backyard. Across the street was a church and a funeral home a little bit further down, and then another church nearby. And so it was a busy, busy place. But what I did have was a quarter acre of flat, nice soil. It didn't really have much hill. The soil hadn't been worked in many years, so it was fertile, great soil. I had 1,600 square feet of interior to work with, old charm because it was a historic home, a big front porch that was just calling for a porch swing and pillows and cozy features. Although it overlooked a busy state highway, it still had that country charm. It had a beadboard ceiling. I had a white, not picket fence, but like a white vinyl fence. It actually was owned by the park, but it went around a lot of our property. I had mature trees. And so at that time, I looked at what I had and not what I didn't. And I really embraced it and actually loved where we lived. Now, once my kids got to an age where I felt like it would just be better if they could run wild and free on more acreage, we really started looking for that special property that we obviously eventually found. But for the time that we lived there in that little house, it felt like the perfect place, even though really it wasn't, but it felt like it to me. And it was the perfect place to learn these handmade skills, to learn how to cook food from scratch, even though it was a modest little place. It didn't cost us a whole lot. If you listen to episode 2 of this podcast, I actually talked about the renovation story of our last farmhouse. It was perfect for us, but I'm gonna jump in and share with you 10 ways that if you are in a situation like that, maybe you're newly married, maybe you're not, maybe there's just no chance for any whatever life circumstance that you're in, that you're going to move out to an actual farm with a cow and a silo and all of that. Take heart, you can definitely have that country lifestyle, that farmhouse lifestyle, wherever you are. Okay, so first one on the list, learn how to mill your own wheat. This is something that doesn't take a lot of money or tools to get into, but I promise you that it'll make you feel like you're living all your farm dreams when you do it. Maybe there's a mental hang up here, like, okay, I need a bunch of tools. It just sounds crazy. I'm gonna take a grain mill it into flour, and then make something with it. But once you incorporate that skill into your life, it's very simple, and it's just one step closer to living a from scratch lifestyle. So, you know, you can't grow your own wheat because you live in town, and quite honestly, even though I live out here, I'm still not gonna grow my own wheat. But I can get one step closer, cutting out the middleman, to the basic root of where a food came from. Number two on the list is learn how to bake bread. I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse.
Taking a quick break to tell you about an awesome podcast sponsor, Cozy Earth. I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth bamboo pajamas every single night. I put them in the washer and dry them so that they're ready again because I cannot wait to go to bed in them. They are just so comfortable. Cozy Earth is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 35% off your order with the code farmhouse. Cozy Earth offers bedding products that will transform your sleep. Currently, I wake up 4 or 5 times every night to nurse the baby, and so it's important to me that I have a comfortable bed to get back into to fall asleep more quickly because my sleep can be so interrupted. Cozy Earth bedding is temperature regulating and it has superior softness. All products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. Incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and overall wellness. Treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear and prioritize your self-care and sleep. You can head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the code farmhouse for an exclusive 35% off. Go get your mom the luxury she deserves at CozyEarth.com with the promo code farmhouse.
You probably already learned this during quarantine. It seems like pretty much everybody did. Necessity is the mother of invention. It's what causes a lot of us to finally learn something that we were putting off. But if you have not yet, learn how to bake bread. Maybe just start with a simple yeast, not sourdough, but just a simple yeast recipe. I will leave my favorite down in the show notes. I learned how to make bread from a website at the time. This is 10 years ago. It's Paula's Bread. Such an easy recipe. It's no fail. Every time I got a beautiful loaf of bread, I ended up adapting it to make a cinnamon raisin version. And from there, I just branched out. I learned how to change a few things here and there. Soon I was doing sourdough and fermenting and rising the bread naturally. But just start there. Learn how to bake a basic loaf of bread. It's interesting. Something like that is more than the sum of its parts because you could go to the store and buy a loaf of bread. And so it's only a dollar. It's not a big deal. That's not it. It's something about learning how to do it yourself and seeing on your counter, you know, maybe your suburban home counter, a tea towel covered loaf pan with bread rising. There's just something about that that will give you this sense of satisfaction if the longing of this lifestyle is there for you. Number three is grow a small cut garden and make messy arrangements. Something about growing my own cut flowers that makes me feel like I am living out all of my country living dreams. Even if you have next to no space, I actually planted some of my best cut flowers in this little patch of grass. It's not even a patch of grass. Between our neighbor's house and ours, there was this little strip, and it always got really overgrown with weeds. I mean, I don't even know what plants they were, to the point where every year, either our neighbors or us, somebody cut it back because it would grow so high it would reach the wires above it. In that little patch, I would plant zinnias, and they are so hardy, so easy to grow that they always came up, and I would go out there and cut zinnias and put them in my little ironstone pitchers and put them on my kitchen table and in the bathroom and just all over the house. And it had that country charm. You know, I would, as long as the seasons would allow me, open the windows, have some breezy light linen curtains with the wind flowing through it and the zinnias sitting there. I remember in our bathroom, we put in a clawfoot cast iron tub and a window with a nice windowsill, and I put my little pitcher of zinnias on there and a white linen curtain, and I opened that window. And yes, when I look out that window, I did see people at the park, but I just kind of pull that linen curtain shut. And if the wind blew through and I walked in that bathroom, I just would see this breezy linen curtain and that pitcher of zinnias and the clawfoot, and it just made me feel like I was living in an old farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere. So don't underestimate the power of growing your own little cut flower garden. All right, number four on my list is pick one room in your house to countryfy. In my old house, I started with the kitchen. That's where I spent the most time because I was cooking for my family and for my kids. Add some hooks with bundles of herbs. Even if you don't grow the herbs in your own backyard garden, which I recommend that you do, you know, plow up half that backyard. In our last farmhouse, which wasn't really a farmhouse, as I mentioned, we lived on a quarter acre. Half of the backyard was tilled into a garden, and I grew herbs and vegetables. I would be out there barefoot with my apron on, you know, people be walking by on the paved walking path that was at the park because it was a nice and popular park, and I'd just be standing there barefoot with my baby in my wrap and my apron on, gathering my tomatoes, just like, hey, don't mind me, I'm just living out all my dreams even though I'm here in town. But even if you don't have that, add some hooks, get a bundle of herbs from the grocery store, tie them up with jute twine, hang them, dry them, get some baskets, cutting boards, ironstone, keep your eye out at antique shops for ironstone and quilts, and just take one room that will allow you to add that country charm. We ended up, over the course of 10 years, adding it to just about every room in the house, but start small. Pick one room where you can really embrace it. The next thing on my list is to get a small chicken flock. Of course, this totally depends on what your city rules are. Like, maybe you're not actually allowed to, but in our last house, I might have here and there let the chickens out just so I could be standing out there with chickens all around me, around the house. And every once in a while, they would go under the park's fence and head over to the park, and I would chase them back into our yard. But either way, even if you only can get two chickens in a small coop or a small chicken tractor, being able to go out to your backyard, gather an egg or two and a bundle of mint and tomatoes in a big wicker basket just really will give you that satisfaction of country living. Okay, number six is learn how to sew a basic apron. I have tutorials for this on the blog. I have the regular standard apron with the strap around the neck and the waist, and then I have a pinafore that's like a crossback apron. I have a half apron, but I love wearing a linen apron. The reason that they're so popular with country style is because you can go out and gather eggs, gather vegetables in them, and learning how to sew is a skill that you can learn no matter where you live. Number seven on my list is bake a pie from scratch. Now, if you have a windowsill where you live, this is even better because you can learn how to bake a pie crust, maybe fill it with some local apples or berries and then put it on your windowsill, maybe open the window. In our last house, I don't think we even used the air conditioner for the first 5 years. I just loved having that breeze through the house. All right, number 8 is source your food from farmers. In episode 39 of this podcast, I talked about how to eat like you live on a farm. And so I shared a whole lot of sources for where you can get food, how I find local food. But maybe part of the reason that you want the country farmhouse lifestyle is eating this from scratch, as close to local as you can, food. And that's totally possible even if you live in town. So all these years that we lived in town, we drank raw milk, we went to the farmer's market, we went to the local produce stands, we ordered meat from local farmers. We weren't able to grow that ourselves because we lived on a quarter acre. We still ate that way. We still enjoyed eggs from local farmers, produce, milk, all of it. And you totally can too. Number 9 is learn how to make candles, body butter, sugar scrubs, embrace that handmade lifestyle. I have tutorials for all of this on the blog, so I'll leave them down in the show notes, but find a local beekeeper. You might not be able to have bees, which actually most likely you probably actually can, because bees don't take up a whole lot of space. In our last house, we never did get bees, but it was totally on my list. I told Luke before we left there that there was still a whole lot more we can do. We hadn't maxed that property out. We still could have gotten bees. There was still more yard we could have tilled up. Though it was a quarter acre, though it was in town, there was still so much more we could have done. We didn't actually have to move here to expand our homestead. There was untapped potential there. But okay, even if you can't do that or you don't want to do that, find a local beekeeper, get some beeswax, melt it down, and make your own candle. Take that same beeswax and try your hand at lip balm or body butter. Embracing some of those handmade skills is something that you can do no matter where you live. All right, number 10, it's in that same vein but with food. Learn how to make your own jam, sauerkraut, vanilla extract. Bonus points if you are able to find the cabbage local. It's all about learning new skills. I share all of these over on my YouTube channel and my blog as well if you want to learn how to do some of those yourself. Okay, that is all on my list, but I actually, as I was saying all of these, I thought of a number 11. So here's a bonus one. Get a clothesline and hang your clothes out on the line. Anything that will get you outside more, enjoying the fresh sunshine and wind, a beautiful clothesline with white sheets blowing in the breeze. All right, so there's my list. If you're sad that you don't or you can't or never will live in the country, but you really feel drawn to that kind of lifestyle, I hope that this list helped you to feel a little bit more positive about your situation no matter where it is. If you have not yet checked out my book, Simple Farmhouse Life, it's DIY projects for the all-natural handmade home. Most of this book was written while I actually lived on Moon Street on a quarter acre. If you look through it, you'll notice that most of the photos for the projects are taken in that home. So many things that you can do to embrace that lifestyle. You can check the book out and purchase it over on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. I'll leave a link in the show notes. All right, well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. If you don't yet have access to my subscriber library, it's all of my ebooks and printables that help you to live this farmhouse lifestyle all in one place. You can get access to that at farmhouseonboone.com/farmhouseresources. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.